www.ccc.com.
Morning. Well, today we are going to cover kind of a lot of ground. Our topic this morning in our ghost series on the Holy Spirit, ghost story series, topic of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit AD. And that's going to include the work of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' life, but also in the beginnings of the early church. So that's what we're covering this morning. And this is going to set us up for the next couple of weeks where, you know, we'll explore like the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in the life of the church, and that sort of thing. So, but there's a lot to get to this morning. So I'm gonna warn you that usually we want to early on kind of start off with a ghost story. Well, our ghost story passage for today isn't going to come until the end. It's going to be in Acts chapter 2. If you want to turn there in advance, that's fine, but it's going to be kind of toward the end of the message. So when we get to Acts chapter 2, you can know, all right, we're getting close to out of here. So diving in, though, a little review of last week, because it's significant to this week. We explored the Holy Spirit B.C. in the Old Testament times before the time of Christ. And if I were to sum that up, I would say this. The Holy Spirit B.C. came upon certain individuals, not upon all who believed in God. He worked selectively and temporarily to accomplish God's purposes. Now, eventually, God was going to pour out the Holy Spirit upon all people, all his people, instead of just certain ones. But before the time of Christ, he didn't do that. The Holy Spirit was also instrumental or crucial in helping people anticipate the coming Messiah. Right? This was mainly through the prophets and the words that were spoken there. God foretold that he would send a promised Savior, the Messiah, who would bring about his kingdom. So the Holy Spirit was pretty crucial there. Looking forward to the ministry of Jesus, the Holy Spirit inspired the prophet Isaiah to prophesy this in Isaiah 11:1-2. It said, "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." So not only would God be sending this promised one, this chosen one, but that chosen one was going to be full of his Spirit, a.k.a. the Holy Spirit. Right? But it was going to be a little bit different with Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit, and this is kind of like first key point here, but the Holy Spirit in Christ was both constant and permanent. Right? Unlike the Old Testament, where it was selective and temporary, here it's constant and permanent with Jesus. It says here in this passage in Isaiah 11:2, he would rest. He would settle down. He would remain, is the word there, on him. And so we do see Holy Spirit very actively involved all throughout the life of Christ. Sometimes we take it for granted, but it's mentioned quite often in Scripture. So it was the Holy Spirit, just kind of working through that, it was the Holy Spirit who overshadowed and came upon Mary so she could conceive miraculously, right? So the Holy Spirit literally made the physical presence of Jesus possible in this world. Holy Spirit was at work in that sense in Jesus' life right from his very conception. The Holy Spirit also moved in Simeon at Jesus' presentation in the temple. Right? Now, apart from these stories, we don't get much detail. We don't get hardly any detail about the Holy Spirit's involvement in Jesus' childhood. But fast forward to before he starts his ministry at the baptism of Jesus, which we talked about at the beginning of this series. That's where the triune nature of God was on display, right? One God, three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. And specifically, when it comes to the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus in the form of a dove. Now, John the Baptist, who was doing the baptizing of Jesus here, had been told by God that you would know the Messiah when you see the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove and remain on him. All right? John 1:32-34. And John bore witness, "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. Right, so it's not just that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, was upon him. That had happened previously in the Old Testament times, sporadically here and there. But with Jesus, it says the Spirit remained on him. It stayed on him. It abided with him. That's the same word that we get when it talks about us abiding in Christ. Like, he's the vine, we are the branches. We got to remain in him. We got to abide in him. Same word. So the Holy Spirit abided or remained on Jesus. He rested on him like Isaiah foretold. Right? So we see it happening here. And immediately after Jesus' baptism, he went out into the wilderness where he fasted 40 days and was tempted by Satan. And you're probably fairly familiar with that story. We're not going to break it all down. But why did he go there? Because Scripture said he was led by the Spirit to go there. So it was the Spirit that led Jesus to the desert. It was the Spirit that strengthened Jesus in the desert. And it was the Spirit, it says, that delivered Jesus from the desert. So right from the start, Holy Spirit actively involved in Jesus' life. When Jesus performed miracles, when he healed people, when he cast out demons, he had this supernatural power. Right? Now, important, people didn't really dispute that Jesus did these miraculous things in his day. They weren't like, oh, that didn't really happen. But they claimed that he did these things by the power of Beelzebub, in other words, Satan. Right? In Matthew 12, verse 25 through 27, Jesus, talking about Jesus, says, knowing their thoughts, he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, and the kingdom of God has come upon you. Right? Jesus is getting at, look, these things that he did, these supernatural things were done by the power of the Holy Spirit. Right? He was empowered by the Holy Spirit. But then also in Luke 10, it says that he rejoiced or was filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. Right? It was the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who strengthened him for the work of the cross. In Hebrews 9:14, this is not in the Gospels, but referring back to the Gospels, Hebrews 9:14 says, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve a living God. So Jesus did what he did on the cross through the eternal Spirit, the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit who was at work when Christ was raised from the dead. 1 Peter 3:18 says, for Christ also suffered once for the sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. Now, this verse isn't saying, like, well, his body died, but he was just alive in spirit. That isn't what this is getting at, because we know he rose physically. His body was changed, but he rose physically. What this is saying is that he was killed by the world in the flesh. That was what killed him. But it was the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that made him alive. Right? So Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was with him all throughout his life and ministry. At least from his baptism on, we know that to be true. And the presence of the Holy Spirit showed and proved that he was exactly who Isaiah said he would be. He was exactly who Isaiah said he would be. He was filled with the Spirit of God was upon him. The Spirit gave him wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, a knowledge of and a fear of the Lord, righteousness and faithfulness, right? Those things were completely evident in his life. So this is a quick summary of the Holy Spirit in Christ's life, in the life of Christ. Where the Holy Spirit BC was selective and temporary, there wasn't much very temporary about the Holy Spirit's presence in Jesus' life. right? So what we see in Scripture is that his presence with Jesus was both constant and permanent. Constant and permanent. At least, again, from his baptism on through his ascension. He was working all throughout Jesus' life. That's what we see. But this was not going to be the end of the story of the work of Jesus. There's a whole lot more to it. So Acts chapter 1. We're not at the ghost story yet, but we're getting there. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Luke is the one writing this. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Right? So all of the stories that we read in the Gospels, that we hear about Jesus having said and done, the things he taught, the people he healed, the salvation that he made possible, that was just the beginning of his work. Right? That's what Luke says. All that I have dealt with, all that Jesus began to do and teach, was just the beginning. Jesus was just getting started, and his work was going to continue, but now it was going to continue through his followers. And Acts 1:2 says he gave them commands. How did he give them commands? How did he charge them to do their work? He gave those commands by and through the Holy Spirit. And so here's a second point. The will of God the Father was commanded from Jesus the Son by or through the Holy Spirit. Right? The will of God the Father was commanded from Jesus the Son by or through the Holy Spirit. Right? That's what he commanded them to do. Now, at this particular time, the Holy Spirit had not yet been poured out when he gave these commands to them. But Jesus had promised them he was going to do so, right? Numerous times. So just before he was arrested and killed, Jesus told them, John 14, he said, "And I will ask the Father, he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." He dwells with you and will be in you. The Spirit was dwelling in their midst because, well, Jesus was with them. And the Holy Spirit was in Jesus. So he was there in their midst with them all along because they were with Jesus. But Jesus said after he left, the Spirit would be in them. Right? That was going to change. That was his promise. They wouldn't have to go trying to just walk after Jesus and go wherever they went so that the Holy Spirit, they'd be close by. The Holy Spirit was going to be with them wherever they went. That was Jesus' promise. And Jesus said, look, this is actually better. This is better for you. In John 16:7, it says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. Right? For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you." Right? So that's why Jesus ascended to heaven, like he did. That's why it was important. Jesus wasn't going to be making spot appearances like he had after his resurrection. We just read in Acts that this proved that it was true. He appeared to them many times, many people many times. It proved to them that he actually had risen from the dead, but he wasn't going to be doing that anymore. He was going away, and now things were going to work differently, right? So he could work in a different way through the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. In John 7:37-39, this is what happened. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." We're probably pretty familiar with that passage. But John's gospel goes on to explain exactly what that meant. In verse 39, it says, "Now he said this about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." In other words, he wasn't in his final place. He wasn't in his rightful place, returned to the Father, sitting at the right hand of the throne, right? Jesus was going to pour out his Spirit, like streams of living water upon them, though. And that was a way better situation. Again, instead of trying to follow Jesus wherever he went just to be close and have the Spirit at work, instead of wherever he went, the Holy Spirit would be in them and be wherever they went. Way better situation. And streams of living water would start to flow out of them and out of anyone who believed, wherever they were. All right, so back to Acts chapter 1, picking it up in verse 4. It says, "And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' And so when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.' And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight." And that was how Jesus' work was going to continue. Right? He was going to leave, but he was going to pour out the Holy Spirit upon his people to do what he was commanding them to do. And here's where today's ghost story starts. Acts chapter 2. And we're just going to kind of read through fairly quickly. If you want to follow along, feel free. "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, 'Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others mocking said, 'Ah, they're filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and my female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show the wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" Right? So we had talked about how the prophets pointed people to the coming of the Messiah, right? They anticipated, helped anticipate the coming of the Messiah through the words that the Holy Spirit gave them. But also they foretold that God would pour out his Spirit upon God's people. Peter quotes the prophet Joel to explain what is happening here. Verse 22, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Right, so then he quotes David and uses his words to help them understand what's happening. Verse 29, brothers, may I say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on the throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. Right? So, Jesus had promised the Holy Spirit would be poured out upon his followers. And that's what God had foretold in the prophets. It's what Jesus had promised. And here it was happening, finally taking place, Peter said. Verse 36, let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Right, what was it going to take to receive the Holy Spirit? Well, repent. Right, turn to God for the forgiveness of sins and be baptized. Right, that was this outward expression of an inward change of heart, dying to self, rising to new life. Verse 39, for the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. As you're listening to the story, and I know it's a long one, but can you see the Holy Spirit's fingerprints all over what is taking place here? Right, Peter says, repent and be baptized. You'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which Jesus poured out upon them. It was available to everyone. Like, this is the moment that Moses had hoped for. And this is also the moment that the prophets foretold, right? Where God said, look, that thing that Moses hoped for, that's exactly what I'm going to do. It's also what Jesus promised would happen. And here the Holy Spirit was being poured out just like he promised. That promise was being fulfilled, like it was happening. It was happening. And so, of course, the question, though, is what would that mean for them? What does it mean for us? Well, what we see in general is that the Holy Spirit worked in the disciples similarly to how he worked in Jesus' life as well. And that same thing would be true for us. Right? The next point for today, the Holy Spirit works in us similarly to how he worked in Jesus. Let's think about that. The Holy Spirit led Jesus. He strengthened Jesus. He delivered Jesus. He gave him direction. He gave him power. He gave him joy. He was constant and he was permanent. And we see that with the disciples who became the apostles, right? He strengthened them. He delivered them. He led them. He gave them commands and instructions. He gave them power. He gave them joy. He would be constantly and permanently with them. And those same things are then true for us. Now, it may not look exactly the same or flesh out in the same way. We may not see all of the incredible, miraculous things that took place in the very early church. We may see some of it. But the Holy Spirit does the same kinds of things in us that he did in and through Jesus and his disciples. Because he works similarly to how he worked in Jesus. Now the Holy Spirit, of course, is leading us to salvation by grace through faith. Jesus didn't need that. He was God. He was perfect. He's the reason we have the opportunity to come to salvation by grace through faith. But when we come to trust Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit. He leads us. He strengthens us. He delivers us just like he did Jesus, just like he did the disciples. He also commands us and instructs us in life. And I think that's pretty important. And there's something about that I think we need to remember this morning, and so I've added a little point to this. Whatever the Holy Spirit says, we need to receive as if it were the words of Jesus himself. Because it is. Because it is. Right? When the Holy Spirit speaks, it's the words of Jesus to us. Right? The commands that he gave the disciples were what? By and through the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit prompts us, or speaks to us, or compels us, or leads us, or teaches us, or guides us, when he tells us what to do, or where to go, or how to think according to Scripture, or what to speak, it's really Jesus doing those things. And the implications of that are pretty huge. Like, to ignore the Holy Spirit is to ignore Jesus himself. To obey the Holy Spirit is to obey Jesus himself. Because this is how Jesus is working in us. I mean, he commands us through the Holy Spirit, but whatever the Holy Spirit says, we need to receive as his words, because they are. The Holy Spirit also gives us power, right? That's pretty significant, because Jesus didn't just give his disciples commands and tasks and work to do without the strength they needed to accomplish it. He promised he was going to give them that too. That came through the Holy Spirit. It's the same with us, right? We aren't helpless or on our own. The Holy Spirit gives us power to do whatever he commands. And he gives us joy. And he gives us joy. Jesus had joy in the Spirit. The disciples, despite the tragic, ridiculous things that they're going through, Paul, despite the craziness his life went through, talked about the joy that he had. That's pretty critical, because for us, accomplishing his task, his work, his commands, that can be hard. It can feel like a grind. But the Holy Spirit in us gives us joy for the journey that we're on. And I just think it's important to remember that just like with Jesus, his presence in us is also constant and permanent. His presence in you is constant and permanent. He's always there, just like he was with Jesus. Wherever you go, he is there. That's the way Jesus wanted it to work. And that's why it's so much better. The Holy Spirit isn't going anywhere. So if you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you've received the Holy Spirit. He has been poured out upon his people. He's alive and dwelling in you. And he's not going anywhere. So here's the assignment for this week. Try to remind yourself of the Holy Spirit's presence in your life throughout the week. Because he's with you. You don't have to ask for him to be there. You don't have to ask for him to show up as if he's off somewhere else and is going to come back when you say, "Hey, Holy Spirit, come back here." He's with you. We just always aren't very mindful of that. So try to be aware. Try to remind yourself of the Holy Spirit's presence in your life throughout the week. Maybe find some ways, think of some ways to remind yourself that He's with you. Maybe in your times of prayer, in your times reading the Word, hopefully you're doing those things and having that opportunity. You know, maybe it's write yourself a note that you find in your car in the morning. Remember, the Holy Spirit's with you as you're driving down the highway amongst all the road rage. You don't have to chase down Jesus to find the Holy Spirit. He is with you wherever you are because He's dwelling within you. All right, we're going to close our time in prayer, and then Scott will give us a few announcements. Father God, thank you for the gift of Jesus, your Son, who has made a way for salvation for us. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done and accomplished on the cross. And Holy Spirit, we pray that we would be mindful of your presence in us and through us, in the way that you want to work, the way that you want to move, that we would be receptive to that, that we would be open to that, that we would be willing to do whatever it is you say, wherever it is you lead us, wherever you want us to go. Speak what you want us to speak. Work in us in the way that we see happening in Jesus, in your disciples and the apostles. Help us to be surrendered to that and to be mindful of you and to follow, to surrender and follow after you. And it is in the name of Jesus, the Son, that we pray these things.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.